From the WLRN Newsroom, I'm Luis Hernandez. South Florida school districts are leading two major lawsuits against a controversial new charter school law, House Bill 7069. But Miami-Dade County is sitting it out, at least for now. WLRN's Jessica Bateman tells us why.
Palm Beach County was first. Then came Broward, joined by a dozen others. But the state's largest school district says it's too soon to sue. In Miami-Dade, school board members agree with their counterparts' arguments against House Bill 7069. Simply put, they believe the law strips elected school boards of their constitutional power and gives it to the private companies that run charter schools instead. But before they launch a legal battle, the board wants to try diplomacy.
Litigation is always an option in any disagreement. But we made a very clear determination that ongoing dialogue, ongoing collaboration, until it was determined that it has been exhausted, is prudent.
Steve Gallen represents Miami Gardens and Opa-locka on the school board. He and his colleagues are headed to Tallahassee next week to try to convince legislators to change the law themselves. So what will it take for the district to go to court?
Five or more board members have to decide when that's exhausted, and I think that's part of the process.
I'm Jessica Bakeman in Miami.
Prosecutors secured a relatively rare federal hate crime conviction today. A Florida man pleaded guilty to leaving a voicemail that threatened to shoot people at a mosque. 35-year-old Gerald Sloan Wallace admitted threatening the Islamic Center of Greater Miami back in February. He faces up to 20 years in prison. The charge was upgraded to a hate crime from a lesser offense, punishable by up to 5 years in prison. Now, the Council on American Islamic Relations estimates that hate crimes targeting Muslims increased 91% in the first half of 2017, compared with the same period last year. The Human Rights Campaign is highlighting local lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender civil rights efforts with its annual Municipal Equality Index. Hannah Willard of Equality Florida says although Florida lacks state protections, many cities and counties have them.
Right now, 60% of Florida's population is currently protected from this discrimination. So it's actually unique for a state in the South to have such a large population of folks protected. We're the third largest state in the country.
A total of six cities in Florida earned a perfect 100-point score. There are three in South Florida, Miami Beach, West Palm Beach, and Wilton Manors. The state average is 75, well above the national average of 57. The area in the Florida Keys that took a direct hit from Hurricane Irma is also the only place on Earth where you could find an endangered species, the key deer. WLRN's Nancy Klingener reports that the post-storm surveys have come up with some good news.
The endangered key deer already had a tough year. The herd lost more than 100 animals to New World screwworm, which can kill its hosts. So when Hurricane Irma's eye crossed the Lower Keys, wildlife managers were worried. But population surveys completed after the storm came up with relatively good news.
The numbers are looking like we still have in Big Pine and No Name around 960 deer, which is a lot. That's a lot of deer.
Dan Clark is the manager for National Wildlife Refuges in the Florida Keys. He says the key deer are in their annual breeding season, or rut.
Even after the screwworm, anecdotally, we saw that there was a lot of fawns. And we may see that this year, too. You never know. Deer in general, when they have a stress and they come back out of it, they tend to reproduce a lot.
Biologists estimate that between 14 and 24% of the deer died in the storm. From the WLRN Southernmost Bureau at the studios of Key West, I'm Nancy Klingener.
Batteries for traffic lights could be part of Miami-Dade County's preparations for future hurricanes. That's according to County Transportation Director Alice Bravo. She's in the process of debriefing Hurricane Irma with her staff and says about 80% of traffic lights in Miami-Dade lost power during the storm.
Whatever generators we had, we would deploy those generators to signals in the areas where possibly it was the longest to restore power. And then we worked with county police and police from municipalities to man signals at major intersections. And then we prioritized those locations with FPNL.
Bravo said her staff is also investigating whether drones could be used in the hours after a hurricane to assess debris on the road. This is WLRN News. I'm Luis Hernandez.